Blog Talk Radio.
The pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. I am excited. I'm always excited. It's something about when you know you are in purpose, when you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that makes you excited. And so I am excited tonight, and I want to welcome each and every one of you into the studio on tonight, whether you're listening live because you've called into the studio or if you're listening through the internet, you are welcome. Or perhaps it's someone that will listen later on to the recorded message because this message is being recorded and you can listen at a later time. I just want to welcome you into the studio. I'm excited about the word that God will have me to present to you on tonight. It's amazing that when God drops in you what he wants you to speak about, that he will give you all the tools and resources that you need to get it done, amen. So when he gives you the vision, he provides the provision, amen. And so all he's asking us to do is step out, to move, because faith is a movement, it's an action. And he's asking us to step out on faith, to just step out in the steps that he has already predestined from the foundation of the earth that he's ordered for us. And that's not always easy because we as humans, our carnal minds want to look at every detail. Our carnal minds look at things and they say, that's not logical. And because it's not logical, I'm not going to do it. Or because it's not logical, Lord, why are you asking me to do that? Or because it doesn't appear to be logical, it's like, it can't be God because it's not logical. Well, I will have you to know tonight that logic is in rebellion to faith. Logic is in rebellion to faith. And we have already learned in Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so we are people of faith. When we say we are believers, when we say that we are Christians, the foundation of our belief system is built upon faith. And so we have to understand that when God tells us to do something, even when we don't feel like it, even when it doesn't look like it, we still need to be able to move in it. And that's a hard thing to do. And so what we're going to do and what you'll find that you'll do on this next however many weeks on Thursday evenings on Processing the Pain, we're going to begin to start exercising our faith muscle because the word also tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I'm going to bring you some practical principles unto perception based on the word of God on tonight and every Thursday night. Amen. So tonight's subject is obedience versus sacrifice. Obedience versus sacrifice. All good things are not God things. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Those are some, that's a cute title, isn't it? I think I have a gift for titles, you know, coming up with creative titles. But there's really a message in that. It's cute. The title's cute. But you're going to see why that title makes a lot of sense on tonight as we go through this. We're going to start, and as you all know who've been following me for a couple of years now, I like to lay a foundation, and sometimes in the process of laying a foundation, it gets boring. So I'm going to ask you, if you're listening in on tonight, just buckle your seatbelt. Sit back, relax, and just say to yourself, you know how your pastor might say, look at your neighbor. I'm not going to tell you to look at your neighbor, but I'm going to tell you to say this. Self, I will be still, and I will hear what God would have me to hear. And I'm going to say, repeat that again. Self, I will be still, and I will hear what it is that God would have me to hear. And so if you just be obedient and be patient, I guarantee you that as I begin to build this foundation, about time we get to the top of what we're building, you're going to get it, and it's going to bless your socks off. If it's good, you know, nothing's wrong with conviction. You know, I would hope that I never give a message that causes you condemnation because we know that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But I pray that the messages I give, that they encourage you, that they empower you, that they inspire you. And even conviction is a good thing because conviction is God calling us towards him. It's saying there's an area that's out of sync. And all this, and the conviction, if you're true to your convictions, that should cause you to get back on sync. Amen. So where we're going to go from tonight is we're going to go from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. And I'm going to jump around a little bit, but I got to read this. And I know a lot of you hate reading. You know, that's why a lot of us don't have a lot of faith. That's why a lot of us fall weak when storms come and we lose faith because we don't want to read. And it says faith comes by hearing, and the hearing, you know, is by the word of God. And we don't want to hear the word of God. We don't want to be still long enough. We don't want to read. Some of us start reading, we go to sleep. I know I've been guilty of that especially early on. Now I read and I'm a little better because I really begin to hear and see the words that God is speaking. But most people hate to read. And so I'm going to read to you. I'm going to make it easy for you on tonight. I'm going to read to you, and I'm going to read from 1 Samuel, and I'm going to jump around, but I need you to hear it, because after I get through reading it, we're going to go into some things, and you're going to understand. It ain't just Coach D telling you some stuff. I'm not just telling you based on my own opinions, and I am going to be expressing some of my opinions. I'm going to express some of my opinions based on my life experiences, but it's coming from the word of God. Amen? So 1 Samuel, we're going to go to chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I'm going to begin to read. And I'm going to skip through this because I don't want to read every single verse. But there's some key verses that I need for you to hear. And so we're going to start with 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to start with verse 1. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to call out the verses when I get ready to skip, just so you'll know where we're going with this. If you need to make notes, if you need to highlight, whatever you need to do, I'll make sure, and then I will allow us some opportunities towards the end of our show tonight to be able to ask some questions. So just bear with me. Allow me to lay this foundation, and I guarantee you'll get it. 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 3. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel. When they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle, sheep, camel, and donkeys." Verse 9 through 17. But Saul and the army spared Agai and the best of the sheep and cattle for the fat cows and lambs. Everything that was good, they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. "I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ear? What is this lowing of cows that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." "Enough," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribe of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people.' The Amalekites waged war against them until you have wiped them all out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" Verse 20 through 25. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the missions The Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agai, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord." Father God, we just come before your throne this evening. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the hearers and the doers of your word. Father God, we thank you for your Rhema word on tonight. And Lord, you are welcome completely in this place. We totally submit ourselves unto you, Father, that you will have your way. Father, our prayer is that not one person leave here on tonight the same as they came in. But Father God, that there will be a Rhema word that they could see and that they could do, Father God. We thank you for this word on this evening in Jesus' name. And everybody that's in agreement, say amen. So we just read from Samuel, and there were some key words in here that I mentioned. And what I'm going to focus on tonight is four things. I'm going to focus on the instruction, the sacrifice, the rebellion, and the obedience of repentance. I'm going to repeat that. We're going to focus on the instruction, the sacrifice, the rebellion, and the obedience of repentance. And some of you might be saying, "Coach D, okay, where are you going with this?" As we were reading, you might have heard certain key words, and I'm going to go back up to verses 1 through 3. And why I said we're going to focus on certain things, because in the beginning of this, Saul was given instructions. He was given detailed instructions on what the Lord was asking him to do. And we've seen that in 1 and 3 where he told them to go and attack the Amalekites, totally destroy the people. And I found it very interesting that the Lord was very detailed in the fact that he mentioned not only just the men, not only just the women and the children, because, you know, we get sentimental when you start, you know, our man could go through some things. And yes, we are concerned, but when they start talking about killing women and children, we get the carnal mind be like, "Whoa, wait a minute." And he was, he said the infants. So not just the little children, but the infants, he said. The cattle, sheep, the camels, and the donkeys. Why am I focusing on the instruction? Because God was detailed. And God has been detailed with each and every one of us in our lives. He has given us instructions on things that he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. And because a lot of times it doesn't look like, you know, it doesn't look good to us, it doesn't feel good to us, it causes us to possibly have to step on somebody's toes or hurt somebody's feelings, a lot of times we will just do what we want to do because it's too uncomfortable to do what God told us to do. Amen. And so God was, he was very detailed in this. And I'm going to give examples. We have friends, and we have families, even our parents, our siblings, our children even, our spouses. You know, sometimes God is telling us to do something, and because our children don't agree with it, our spouse, or maybe our parents don't agree with it, our best friends, then we'll shy away from what God told us to do. God is specific when he gives us instructions. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. His question to us is, are you going to be obedient? So again, he was very specific with Saul and giving him instructions on what to do. So that was the instructions that he gave Saul. He's given someone tonight instructions, specific instructions. He told you to do something. And have you done it? Have you done it? It doesn't matter that it's not logical. It doesn't matter that it doesn't feel good. God is asking you on tonight, did you do what I asked you to do? Did you do what I asked you to do? And that's what he's asking on tonight, starting with the instruction. Then we're going to go down and we're going to go to the sacrifice. Woo, this one's going to take me some time. We all been here. The sacrifice. When I go through verses 9 through 17, I began to read it and I read it to you, and we begin to see how Saul began to talk about all the sacrifices, everything he did, and why he did it, and he did it for God. You know, and we do that. We get involved in ministries. We may stay at churches. We may stay at jobs. And for us, we say, hey, I sacrificed. I was the usher for 15 years at my church. But nobody seemed to notice. Nobody seemed to pay attention to all the good things that I was doing. And that's what Saul was saying. He said, hey, I went and killed some of the Amalekites, but I brought back this, and we took the best, the good stuff, the good sheep, the good lamb. We took all this good stuff because guess what, Lord? We're sacrificing it to you. And God is saying to us again, who told you to do that? Did I tell you to do that? Or are you doing what you want to do? And many of us go through life making sacrifices, not just to God. Let me take it out of there. There may be someone listening in on tonight that don't have the same belief system. There may be someone listening in on tonight that don't know God. So let me take it in the natural state, in the carnal state. Some of us go through life, even with our kids, sacrificing, and we don't. And a lot of times, I don't know if you experienced this. How many people have experienced making all these sacrifices, good sacrifices? You know, a mother makes good sacrifices for a kid. She might go without her hair getting done, without her nails and stuff. A father makes good sacrifices for his family. He go and work 13, 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. And have you made these kind of sacrifices and feel like nobody appreciates it? Nobody is acknowledging what I'm doing as a mother, as a husband, as a father. You do for your kids. You make all these sacrifices, restless nights, long hours, to make sure that they have the best of the best, all the good things, only for them to say they don't appreciate it, or I never asked you to make those sacrifices. How many of us have went through life making sacrifices for people that never acknowledge it, that never seem to appreciate the sacrifices we make? We do the same thing with God. We make sacrifices to God. I get up and go to church. I hear people say, well, I go to church every Sunday. I'm at Bible study every Wednesday. That's the least I could do for God. God ain't asked you to go to Bible study on Wednesday. He may not even ask you to go to church on Sunday. Did he ask you to make that, to do that? Or are you just doing it because you feel like you're sacrificing something to him? You get involved in the ministry. You become a leader, a minister, an evangelist, a missionary, whatever. Are you doing this because God told you to do it? Or are you doing it because you feel like this is the least thing you could do for God? Again, the sacrifices that we feel we make. And when we make sacrifices, whether we realize it or not, we're expecting a reward for our sacrifices. We're expecting pay. We're expecting increase. Tithe, a big one. Another big one. I'm making this sacrifice. And many of us is not just tithing because we're being obedient to what God told us to do in his word, but we're making tithes because there's a payday, at least in our minds, we're believing that there's a payday connected with tithe. It's called sowing and reaping. If I tithe this, I'll get this. Sacrifices. Point three. the rebellion. As we read through this, we realized, don't you know that when you are in sacrifice and you are not in obedience, you are in rebellion? Sacrifice without the obedience is rebellion. What's rebellion? We hear that word a lot. We hear that word a lot. And I'm just gonna give you the Webster's definition of rebellion. Open resistance to an established government or ruler. In this case, we're talking kingdom business tonight. So the ruler is God. He is the ruler of our life. And it said open resistance to him. So when the sacrifice is not tied to obedience, it's rebellion. And many of us, I want us to know on tonight that many of us are walking in rebellion. We have sacrificed for years. We have sacrificed, and it has not been in obedience. Because some of us have done so much sacrificing that we can't even take the time to be still to hear what thus said the Lord. We can't take the time to be still to know if we're lined up according to God's divine, predestined purpose for our life. So we go through life sacrificing, getting up in the morning. The alarm go off and we sacrifice. We go, we sacrifice. But you could get so caught up in your sacrifices, regardless of what that sacrifice is, ministry, our relationships. Some of us are in relationships that we don't even have any business in. Sacrifice. And we could get so caught up in those things that we don't take the time to get vertically connected so we can hear what God would have for us. And I want you to know something, that you could have made a sacrifice that was tied to obedience. But if you're not vertically connected, when God said change partners, my mentor, I know he's on the phone laughing. When God says change partners, you got to change partners. There are seasons, and God operates in seasons. And sometimes God will have instructed us, I need you to go here. I need you to go here for a season. And then if you're not careful and you're not connected to God or you're not listening to him because you're in sacrifice, without the obedience, you're in rebellion, in disobedience, and you're not hearing him. So you're still stuck in the winter when God had already had your harvest ready in spring. Amen. You're still stuck back in winter, sacrificing with no obedience. And you're wondering, Lord, Why is nothing manifesting? Lord, why am I so depressed? Lord, why am I so angry? Lord, why am I not achieving? Lord, I'm stagnant. I don't feel your presence. You're not here. And we're wondering why. Because we're still in winter and God had already told us to move on to spring. Our blessings. Our harvest is in spring, and we're still in winter. You hear the word of God that says you can tell the tree by the fruit it bears. That's a good sign for us. Because if your tree is not bearing fruit, doesn't mean you're a bad person, but maybe you might want to look at your sacrifices, and you need to make sure that your sacrifices is lining up to the obedience of God. What is God telling you in this season? Some of us been on jobs 20, 30 years, miserable, and making everybody else around us miserable because we out of season. They're in the right season, but you're in the wrong season. And so because you're in the wrong season, because when you're in the wrong season, some of the indicators of being in the wrong season is you're uncomfortable. You're miserable. Because can you imagine being in the winter with shorts on? That's not comfortable. It's snowing. It's 3 below 0. But because you were supposed to be in spring and you got spring attire on, but you're still in the winter, it's uncomfortable. That's an indicator. I might be at the wrong place. And you need to begin to take a look at, why am I here? Lord, did I miss you? Again, Saul, he did a list of everything he was doing, what he did. Everything he did, the sacrifices he made, but unfortunately they were not tied to obedience. And now he finds out that he's been in straight rebellion. He has rebelled against God. And it don't say nothing on here that Saul didn't love God. Saul had favor with God. God had made Saul king of Israel. That's a big thing, a big achievement. So surely I would think that Saul would want to do his heart. Desire was to do what God asked him to do. But he allowed his carnal mind, he allowed his logic to get in the way. He said a key thing. He said that he was scared of the men. So he just, the man talked him into it, so he just did what the man said do. How many of us is doing what man told us to do and not what God told us to do? What man told us to do and not what God told us to do. He admitted to it. He said, man, I blew it. I was trying to be a people pleaser. Wow. How many people pleasers we have tonight? I know I'm a people pleaser. Because I want everybody to be happy with me. I want everybody to be happy with the decisions and the choices that I'm making. You know, I want everybody to, if Coach D make a decision, it's natural. It's our humanity. It's natural for us to want to be pleasing people, our spouses, our parents. You know, we want to honor and please our children. But God is saying, what about me? Are you willing to be disobedient to what I told you? If you remember, as when Jesus was getting close to the time of his crucifixion, people were asking him questions, and I believe somebody asked him about, and I'm paraphrasing here, but somebody asked him about his mother and his brother, and he said, these are my mothers and brothers. In other words, those who are followers of Christ are my family. These are my mothers and brothers. And I can remember being a child or a teenager, shall I say, and my parents are ministers. They're very involved in ministry, and I never would have thought that I would follow their footsteps, you know, because I was rebellious. But I can remember being angry at my parents because they had an international ministry, and they were always traveling. There was always people around them. And even though I was a young adult by this time, a very young adult or a teenager, when I would go home to visit them, it was always a house full of people. And I could just remember being angry and mad, and who are all these people at my house? And, you know, and why do they have – It appeared that they got more of my parents' attention than I got. And so I could just remember being angry, and I couldn't understand how my parents would just sacrifice themselves and sacrifice their children for the call of the ministry. And I'm sure that they were being obedient to God because the fruit of their labor was rich. It was fruitful. So anytime something's so fruitful like that, you know, it's signed to obedience. But in the logical state, it seemed like, hey, you're putting your ministry over your family. And I understand now because the word of God, he's telling us, but those who want to follow me, everything else takes a second. Follow God. And I want to say that again, following God. And if God is telling you to start this ministry, or God is telling you to start this church, or God is telling you to go and be a missionary in Zimbabwe, if God is telling you that because you're spending personal time with God and he is telling you that, then it is best for you to be obedient. See, sacrifice looks a lot like obedience. Sacrifice looks a lot like obedience. Or should I say, obedience requires sacrifice. But sacrifice don't always require obedience. And so we got to make sure that we are hearing God. What God say? If God told you, I want you to serve over here at this church, and I need you to do this, I need you to clean toilets for the next, in this season, I need you to clean toilets. And that's what God told you to do, you better go do it. Because that's called obedience. And that obedience requires a sacrifice. Amen. Point four. I want to stop for a minute. I know we're going, but I want to stop because this is some rich information. This is some great things. And most of us could probably relate. I guarantee you that most people on this call tonight can relate to this. We could relate to God giving us instructions. Whether it was instructions to make a certain person our life mate, or if it was instructions to go to a particular job, move into a particular city. All of us, God has given instructions, whatever those instructions are. God may have instructed you to start a business, but logically, it didn't look logical. I don't have money to start a business. But God didn't ask you if you have money. He said start the business. God may have told you to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to Starbucks, but because you were too tired to get up at 4, you woke up at 6 and went to Starbucks, and you didn't know why God had you to go there. Why? Because you missed it. You missed God's timing. Because if you would have got up at 4 o'clock and went to Starbucks as he instructed you to, not logical, but as he instructed you to, then there would have been somebody there that you would have got into a conversation with, and it would have been a divine meeting. Because something you need, that person would have had, and you guys would have sparked up a conversation, and you would have begun to share your vision with this stranger. And then all of a sudden, you would have shared a vision that, hey, I have a desire. I have a desire to have a multi, I want a multi-unit because I have young ladies that's coming out of abusive relationships, and I want to be able to give them a place, a safe place to stay for a period of time so that they could get back on their feet with them and their children and they don't have to worry. They could get themselves together, so they'll have a six-month period of time to get themselves together, and I need some property to do that. And then all of a sudden you're sharing your vision with this person, and God has already prepared this person to receive it because this person had what you need, and all of a sudden this person said, well, I don't know why, but I have a farm. I have a ranch. I have 150 acres with cottages on them, and I'm not doing nothing with it. Maybe we could talk about something. Now, all of a sudden, your part of your vision being fulfilled because you were obedient to God. You woke up at 4 o'clock. You went to Starbucks. You strike the conversation with a stranger, and all of a sudden, that stranger had what you need. Do you think that's impossible? Absolutely not. Because we serve a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask. And oftentimes when he tells us to do something, we won't do it. Because it's not logical. Because I'm tired. Because I'm scared. God might have told you to move to a different state. You don't even know anybody in that state. And you're wondering why the Lord is telling me to go to this state. I'm not going to that state. I got all my family and friends here. My support system is here. Why am I going to go there? But little did you know, had you been obedient and went to that state, every single need would have been supplied. Everything you needed and more would have been taken care of. The obedience. God is looking for obedient people. Obedient people. Now I'm going to go back to point four. In point four, we're going to talk about the obedience of repentance. So as we see in Samuel, when we got to chapters 20 through 25, and Saul said, yes, I was obedient. I went and I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that, the sacrifices. And then Samuel had to let him know, who cares about what you did? So what? You did burnt offerings. Is that what God asked? Well, did God ask you to sing in the choir? Did God ask you to sing in the choir? Or you just wanted to sing in the choir? Did you ask him what did he want you to do? Where did he want you to serve? So he went through all of this. And then Samuel went on to let him know that the sacrifice without the obedience is in rebellion. And he went on to let Saul know that he was in rebellion. And it's a sin. And what does sin do? Sin is meant to separate us from God. So that's why you can see people that go to church every Sunday that's all involved in serving in church and everything else. But you could tell they're far from God. Ooh, Jesus. You could tell that they're far from God. Something has them separated. Something has them separated from God. What is that something that causes us to be separated from God? It's called sin. And whether you knowingly know you're sinning or you don't know you're sinning, when you start feeling the separation from God, you need to begin to look and see, where am I at? Am I in obedience? Am I living a life of obedience, or am I just living life? And then there's consequences to sin. I don't care how much we love God. There's consequences to sin. And even though Saul repented, he was obedient enough to repent. He recognized his error. He recognized that he missed the mark. He did not follow the instructions that God gave him. He did what he wanted to do. And when he was confronted about it, I like Saul, because he was eager to hear what Samuel had to say. And when Samuel brought it to his attention that he missed the mark, he didn't get all puffy. He didn't delete Samuel off of Facebook and say, I ain't going to deal with him no more. That ain't my friend. He tripping. How he going to tell me something? Don't judge me. Glory. We hear it and see it all the time. We've been those people. Somebody confront us in love. You know, correct us, rebuke us, because that's what the Word of God tells us. And when they do that, we want to get an attitude. We want to talk about, don't judge me. God know my heart. Absolutely, God knows our heart. He knows there's no good thing in our heart. So, what I liked about Saul, at least in this, is that he was willing to receive his correction. He was willing to admit that, yes, I blew it. I was afraid of the men. And so I gave in to them. I'm afraid to marry that woman. Lord, you know how I've been hurt in the past. I'm afraid to marry her. And God is saying, that's your wife. And you still asking God, Lord, show me my wife. And God is saying, that's your wife. Lord, I want to be happy. I need a wife. And God is saying, that's your wife. But your fear won't even let you step out and consider that this could be your wife. Your fear won't allow you to ask for help. So you'll go through life struggling and destitute, hungry, homeless, because you're scared of rejection. You're scared that you don't want to tell nobody your vision, even though God has put you in a position and put someone in a position to help meet your need, but you're scared because you're scared somebody's going to steal your vision. And what God has given to you is for you. If God gave you that vision is the vision God gave you. Nobody could just come and steal that from you. They can't, because God gave it to you. God's not going to allow that to happen. And if that happened, know that God is still in control. Because with every great adversity is an equal or greater reward. So if God gave it to you and he told you to speak it to someone and that person was disobedient to what God told them to do, then that's between them and God. If God told that person to give you $500,000 to start you a business, and God told you to go talk to that person and ask that person, and that person tells you no, hey, rejoice in the name of Jesus. Rejoice, because guess what? You're going to be paid for your obedience, while that person's going to have to deal with their disobedience. But that's between them and God. Don't get angry at them. Don't get mad at them. Don't go bad-mouthing them, talking about them. No, rejoice, because you did what God told you to do, and they're going to have to deal with God for what they didn't do. Amen? So again, once we realize we're out of order, and some of us might have to get in our quiet space. Some of us are distracted. We can't even do what God's called us to do because we're distracted. God said, at this time, at this hour, I need you to be still. And we'll find everything else to do. Our kids become more important. Our spouses become more important. Reality shows, game shows, Facebook, ooh, Jesus, become way more important. And God said, in this moment, for the next hour, for the next 30 minutes, for the next 2 hours, this is about me and you. And you'll be distracted. And I'm going to tell you, God don't care nothing about your sacrifices. You could walk the talk. You could do all that. You could go to church, get up, go to work. I mean, you could do it religiously. Do it religiously. Do it often. It's a habit. Some of us drive to work every day with our eyes closed. We don't even have to have our eyes open. We done it for so long. It's automatic. I've heard people say, I commute to work. And when I get off the freeway, once I get off the freeway where I live, I wake up and I realize that I was totally unconscious for that 30 or 40 miles. I was unconscious, on the freeway, unconscious. And I didn't become conscious and alert until I got off the freeway. Are you unconscious and unalert? I mean, are you unconscious in your life? Are you driving through life just unconscious? Doing whatever we want to do, saying whatever we want to say. I mean, this message is for me, and I'm just praising God that he's allowing me a platform to be able to share his word and share this message and my experience, because oftentimes when I share a message, it's either something that I've been through, I'm going through, or I may be getting ready to go through, and this message is for me, and if it blesses you, that's great. If you want to hear it and receive it and be obedient to it, then great. Because I tell you what, I don't want to be in disobedience. When I am unbalanced, you can see it. You can see it in my attitude, my mouth. My mouth becomes toxic when I'm out of balance. And when I'm out of balance and I do something out of order and I immediately recognize, whoo, that wasn't cool. And the Holy Spirit begins to convict me. And then when I get in my quiet place and I look at that thing that I've done and I begin to repent before God, and if I be still long enough, he gives me a message of hope. See, this message tonight wasn't a message of discipline. It was a message of hope. What's the hope, Coach D? The hope is because we all miss it. We all miss the mark. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and God is showing us through Saul that Saul had favor with God. Saul had favor with God, and God gave Saul some great things. And Saul missed the mark that cost him his favor. But even in that, Saul was willing to see that he blew it, and he was willing to repent. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. He confessed it. I violated the Lord's command and your instruction. So sometimes we got to confess that we sinned, we violated the command of the Lord, God sends mentors, leaders in our pathway that we submit to your pastor. If you're going to a church and that's your church home, that pastor is your leader. And he may have given you instructions. And you didn't follow the instructions. And you need to go back and repent. You need to acknowledge. First of all, I violated God's command. That's the first and foremost. But now, to my instructor, I missed your instructions. And now I got to acknowledge that I did this because I was in fear. I did that because I was worried about, I wanted to people please. I did this because I wanted to be rewarded, whatever the case may be. So you acknowledge and you took a look at why you did it. In this case, Saul said, I was afraid of the men. And so I gave in to them. Now, Lord, I beg you. I ask for forgiveness of my sins and my shortcomings. Come, and then ask the Lord to re-invite his presence back into your life. Lord, I blew it. I missed the mark. I don't want to fail you. I don't want to not follow your commands. I don't want to be in rebellion. I don't want to be disobedient. I don't want to be people pleasers. I don't want to be at the wrong job. I don't want to be at the wrong, with the wrong spouse. I don't want to be in the wrong season at the wrong time. I want to be in order with you, Lord. And as you order my steps, I want to be able to step according to what you've already laid down for me. I don't want to wander off to the left or wander off to the right and then have to come back and find you and figure it all out all over again. We don't want to do that. And so tonight, again, with hope, because we have the ability, and especially now, Saul didn't have the grace. Saul didn't have grace. And we, as believers today, have grace. We do have grace. And we could come boldly before the throne of God. We don't have to make sacrifice, blood sacrifices. We don't have to depend on another man, a priest, to get our prayers heard or get our prayers up to God. We could go directly to the throne. We could repent. We could turn away from. That's what Jesus came and died for. Amen. Well, if you're listening in to tonight's show and you have a question or a comment, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we will bring you in. You don't have to announce yourself. You don't have to, nobody don't have to know who you are. If you have a question or comment, or maybe you just need prayer. Maybe you said, hey, Coach D, I just need prayer. This, your message tonight really touched me. It ministered to me, and I just need prayer. I need to get back on track with God. I've been missing the mark. I've been blowing it, and I haven't been obedient. I've been making sacrifices, but they're not tied to the obedience of God. So I'm in rebellion, and I don't want to rebel no more. And if that's you and you want prayer, dial 1 on your dial pad. I can pray with you. If you don't want to do it now, you can always hit me up on my Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter. You can email me. You can email me at w2w@mcdnetwork.org, w2w@mcdnetwork.org. I know that's not the process of the pain, but I'll still get the message, and I'll be more than glad to pray for you or with you as you pray. Continue to pray for me, but I am, again, if you have any questions, I really appreciate everyone that was listening in on tonight. My prayer is that a word was said that really touched your heart and ministered to you, and that you really could receive what thus said the Lord, what the Lord has for you. All of us want to be fruitful. You know, all of us want to multiply. All of us want to please God. Really, we do. You know, we wouldn't take the time to listen to shows or even listen to sermons if we weren't searching. And many of us are searching, and many of us want to do what's right. Paul said, I want to do what's right. You know, I want to do what's right, but every time I turn around, I'm doing what's wrong. And, ooh, who's going to help me? And it's Christ. Christ is the answer. Amen. Well, again, I'm just going to give one more time before we begin to close out on this program. Again, if you have a question or comment about tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad, and we can bring you in. I love to interact. I love your comments and your questions. But if you don't have one on tonight, I respect that. And, again, I hope tonight's show blessed you. Know that you are loved and appreciated. And know that we have other broadcasts on the MCD Network on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We have Cheek to Cheek, and Cheek to Cheek is hosted by Minister Tamika. And Minister Tamika went through a devastation of losing her daughter, and through that devastation, God has given her a platform for other parents who have also lost their children, that they could come on and they could share their experiences and walk through their journeys together. And it's a support group. Again, that's Cheek to Cheek on Tuesday nights. On Wednesday nights, we have Woman to Woman, and Woman to Woman is a show for women, by women, but men are more than glad to tune in. Woman to Woman is the only show that we do through a live broadcast as well as in the studio. We've been having some difficulties since we've been back, so pray for us that we'll get our technology together in reference to showing that broadcast weekly live, and that's on Wednesdays. So if you have mothers, sisters, wives that you think could benefit from that show, please have them tune in on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. And then again on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we have Processing the Pain. And again, Processing the Pain is geared to help people process through life's pains. Life is full of pains. There's going to always be pains in life, and we have to learn how to process through the pain so that we can continue to pursue purpose in order to partake in God's promises. And so, again, if you know people that could benefit from any of our shows, the best things that you could do for us is tell others. Pass on the flyers. Pass on the links. Tell others. If you've been blessed, tell them about it. Tell them to tune in. Listen in on the shows. Again, we appreciate your support. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and have a blessed evening.